Bibles, if you will, turn to Genesis chapter number 32 and verse number 24. Thank you. I love preaching. You read the Bible. The excitement about it is when somebody stands up to preach, it just puts spirit on that letter. Brings light and life out of that text. And then it just seems like oil begins to bubble up. Start running out of that text to where you can smell it, the fragrance of it. You can taste the sweetness of it. And then that's what's happened to us this week. I love it. We're preaching on the doctrine of Jacobism. The desire to be blessed at whatever cost and at everybody else's expense. Jacob wants what's right, but he goes about it in all the wrong ways. Now, he knows God. He's talked to God. He loves church. Calls it Bethel. He even tithes. What pastor wouldn't want him as a member? But he's Jacob. Trickster, conniver, cheat, stealer, liar. His pursuit is spiritual. He's got a lot of carnality in the approach. Don't want to be too hard on him, as your pastor said. I see a lot of Jacob in myself. We've noticed his story of looking at Esau, seeing a reflection of himself. The greatest thing he ever saw out of it was God. We saw his squeeze. He's going to have to turn loose. He's going to have to let go. But I want to read one verse to you, and I want to preach for a few moments on Jacob's strength. Look in verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of a day. There is no doubt that Jacob was a strong man. I mean, I'm 68 years old, and there's no way I could wrestle with anything all night long. But he's wrestling with an angel and doing a good job at it. He's got scissor holds and full Nelsons and everything else. He has strengths. But we're going to notice he also has weaknesses. I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 and 27. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the wise things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. There's no doubt that Jacob is strong, but there's no doubt that he also is weak. And I believe that many times, if not all the time, the problem is not so much our weakness, which we are afraid of, but it is our strengths that keeps us from seeing and dealing with our weaknesses. He is strong. We see here in the wrestling that takes place. He's strong physically. He is strong spiritually. Jacob wanted God's blessing, as we've noticed all week. He wanted that birthright. He was certainly more strong than Esau was in that pursuit. He's strong morally. His brother Esau just marries anybody that comes along. But he's taking his mom and daddy's advice, and he's not going that route. He goes to Mesopotamia, and he gets the right kind of woman. He's strong morally. He's strong religiously. He's been to Bethel. He's been to the house of God. He can tell you all about it. And, as I said, he even tithes. He's strong on a lot of levels, so much so you don't want to tangle with him physically. You don't want to try to outsmart him mentally. You don't want to compare yourself to him morally. He is a representation of someone who is strong, and he is very strong. But I want to just mention three or four things about this matter of his strengths. And we'll come to this matter of his weakness, because they too work as one. The strengths that we want others to see in our lives and the weaknesses that we are so afraid of seem to have the opposite effect. I want you to notice, when we look at these strengths in Jacob's life, first of all, that those powers that he has are unassuring to him. In other words, Esau knows that Jacob has the birthright. He said, "He took it from me." He understands that. His mother knows that he's got it. God told her that. Isaac confirms to Esau, said, "You're too late. I gave it to your brother." But nowhere in Jacob's experience, from the day of his birth to the day of the text of which we've read part of it, of his wrestling with the angel, does he think he's got it. Wow. He's put everything he can into it to get it. And he has strengths that no one else can compare to. He can dictate and manipulate and overpower everybody that is connected to the story of his life. But yet, when it comes down to it, ask him on any day, "Have you got it?" And he doesn't feel like he has. You can tell that by his pursuit constantly, by his practices, by his selfish efforts, and the fact that he is full of doubt. He goes year after year after year trying to attain that which somehow he cannot believe his strengths has gotten him. I think we can see that all around us. Have you listened to those who are very strong in society, those who seem to have attained, those who are great on so many levels, and when you talk to them, they all have sad interviews, as if they are still trying to reach something they do not have. I remember listening to an interview documentary of Mike Tyson, who earned $50 million in 1 year. It looks like that'd make you happy. Yes. Looks like that make you feel that you have achieved. But if you listen to it, one of the saddest interviews I ever listened to is he talked and constantly talked as if he had nothing. Everybody was against him. It's like he needed to achieve another level. But can I say to you, as long as you rely on your strengths, understand this, you will never quite know if you have accomplished what you've went after. You may have a few extra cattle and a promise over a bowl of soup, but you will have no assurances. Your strengths cannot give you that. And let me just say it this way. Your strengths, whatever that they are, your strengths, whatever they may be, have no power to minister to the person that has them. Your strengths have no ministering effect upon you. And this is why Jacob is in such a position as he is in, is because he's trying to draw off the well of his own personal strengths. Now, can I say to you, your strengths are not necessarily bad, and we all have them now. Don't sit there and look at me pious with a false humility and say, oh, no, I just don't think I can do any. Oh, yes, you've got strengths. We all do in some area. And the strengths are not bad if you don't let your strengths be your strength. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Your strengths are not bad as long as you do not let your strengths be your strength. Amen. And the only strength that Jacob has is his own strengths. And they are no strengthening to him personally. They always leave him empty. Amen. And if you're trying to achieve through your abilities, you will never produce assurances. You will always feel as though you didn't reach it. You'll try it the next time. Jacob is strong, but he is totally unassured by his strength. If you're trying to find satisfaction out of your abilities, you're going to live a sad life. Unassuring. Saw another documentary of Pete Maravich, said to be, by the NBA, one of the top 50 basketball players ever. He was 20 years ahead of his time as far as basketball was concerned, in his passing, his shooting, how he handled the ball, the playmaking. It astonished everybody. But yet in his own testimony, he said, I just could not reach where I thought I ought to be. And he said, in every game, though I loved the game, I was miserable because when I finished, I felt like I had not attained. His own strength. Though most of the time he was the best person on the floor, could not minister to him and give him peace in the thing that he had given his life to. His own strength left him empty. Let us take this as a serious thought. Thank God for your strength, but do not let your strengths be your strength and your only strength. It will leave you empty without any assurances. Your strengths will not and cannot minister to you. Have you got that? I don't want you to shout. We're in surgery. Time to cool down and be quiet. The second thing I would say to you about Jacob's strengths in application to yours and to mine, and we're going to look at it in light of this matter of his weaknesses in a moment. Your strengths, Jacob's strengths, are unassuring. You can never get satisfaction out of them. They won't minister to you. But I'm going to tell you something else you will notice in those expressed and exercised strengths. When you know they are your strengths and you let them be your strengths in the presence of other people, your strengths will not only be unassuring, but they will be unappreciated. Think about this. This guy has been the strong man in every situation. Mentally, spiritually, morally, physically. But he's the most unlike guy in the text. His strengths has turned everybody off. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Chapter 31, verse 1 and 2, and he heard the words of Laban. This is him listening, Jacob, saying, Jacob hath taken away all our fathers, and of that which was our fathers has he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as at the beginning. Amen. I'm going to tell you one of the ways you can know that you're a Jacob is when your father-in-law thinks less of you than what he did 20 years ago when you married his daughter. It's just getting worse. His brother Esau hates him. He has to leave because of that. His strength has brought murder out of the heart of Esau. It's brought misery to his father Isaac. It has brought anger and madness out of Laban, and has brought a high mistrust out of Laban's children. Flashing your strengths will only cause others to dislike you. The very thing you flaunt as you show your strengths will only cause disdain and contempt. Folks won't like you. Well, I'll just be honest with you. If you're perfect and you've never, I mean, all your children are doctors and lawyers and things of that nature, and you and your wife have never fussed, your children have all been perfect also, you never had to go to the doctor, never been in the hospital except for being born, don't talk to me, because I'm just going to tell you right now, I won't like you. Now, that is a blessing if you have that. I don't know anybody that does. But I'm going to tell you something. If you propagate that and push that and brag on all that, nobody likes you. And it's just like Jacob. He overhears them talking behind his back. And I understand people are talking about you. I don't want you to leave out. Listen, somebody's been talking about you. It would lead me to say, now listen to me, your strengths cannot minister to you. Not when they are your strengths in every situation. But also, your strengths will not minister to anybody else. The impossibility of our own abilities in ourselves being able to help us is nil, but being able to help someone else is impossible also. And don't you and I need to realize that coming here in my own intellect, my own powers, even my own studies or my own abilities, I will not be able to help you nor help myself when it's all said and done. Because it's your strengths that's causing all the trouble for you, and it's causing all the trouble for everybody else. His strengths, and he has them, your strengths, and you have them, cannot minister to you, nor can it think about that. We all want to be strong, do we not? Isn't that what we preachers pray? And I'm not against it. I do too. Lord, help me get up there, not make a big mistake. I want to give a big sermon. I want them to think at least I can preach. And God said, you know, really, that's not what helps people. And I can't help you through it. Because we all got Jacob in us and we can't help it, right? I'm testifying on my own behalf. Your strengths are unassuring. Your strengths are unappreciated. So why in the world would we want to flaunt those things that have no value in them when used in our own selfish way to try to attain what we want, even though we would call it spiritual? The third thing I would say to you, and here I get to this matter of weaknesses. Your strengths are unassuring. Nobody. They're unappreciated. Nobody likes you. But I want you to notice here that your strengths, my strengths, are unhelpful. I cannot tell in any situation that he was in that he helped matters. It seemed that his strengths made them worse. But here's what I want you to know. Jacob was not only strong, but as I said in the beginning, he was also weak. And you underscore this, and if you're honest with yourself, you will say amen to this, because I know it is true in my life. Behind the wall of every man's strength lies weakness. But Jacob is so successful in not dealing with his weaknesses because of his strength. It's like Samson. It was not Samson's weaknesses that really got him so much in trouble as it was his strengths that would not let him face his weaknesses. His strengths and his abilities and his accomplishments with his power kept him from looking at his weaknesses and bringing them before God. And can I say to you, and I believe this to be true, that sometimes our weaknesses are not as near as bad for us as our strengths are. Because that's what God deals with, is weaknesses. He don't deal with strengths, he breaks them. And honey, I want you to know that if somehow you can get beyond who you are and your strengths and quit dwelling on those and get to those weaknesses, your weaknesses, once you begin to sense the reality of what that weakness is, or those, I don't care whether it is morally or whether it is physically or whatever it is, once you begin to see that, it'll do one thing to you. It'll drive you to God. Your weaknesses will cause an awareness that, hey, this thing is a cancer in my life. This thing is bad in my life. Oh, God, I need you to deliver me from myself and from my sin and from my hopelessness. But as long as you are emphasizing and magnifying and relying upon your strengths, you will never deal with the weaknesses that are in your life. And here's what I want you to know. Samson was so strong, he didn't have to deal with it. He could use his strengths to supersede. Jacob is so strong, he don't have to deal with all that raunchiness and lying and stealing, cheating and all that. He's strong enough to rule over that and still thinks he can come out ahead. Hey, you got faults. You got weaknesses. Anybody here perfect this morning? Would you raise your hand? You mean to tell me that you're in the middle of a camp meeting? Which must mean you're the upper crust of your church. I mean, how many people is going to come to a hot building and listen to people scream and holler all day? And you sitting right there have got weaknesses? Yes, we all do. But I don't want my preaching to keep me from dealing with my weaknesses. I don't want being an evangelist to keep me from dealing and realizing that those strengths could destroy me. Your very gift, the thing that could bring you down, as it stands between you and your weakness, so that you cannot be honest, you cannot see it, you cannot deal with it. Hebrews 11:34, talking about the heroes of faith. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong. You got to get to the weakness before there comes the strength. Paul said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." He said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in what?" Woo! It helps my heart to know that it really doesn't matter to God how I perform, because he ain't going to be able to get any glory out of my success. He'll get the glory out of my failures and my weaknesses. That's how he chooses to work. I say to you that his strength cannot minister to him. His strength cannot minister to others. And his strength can never minister to the weakness that is in his life. It ain't this that's going to take care of that. It's getting this out of the way so God can take care of that. But as long as this is in the way, and don't we all have this also? But it leaves so much of that undone. I did tell you we was sort of having surgery this morning, didn't we? Your strengths are not bad as long as they're not your strengths in your dealings with God and others, so that you can allow God to deal with the real issues that lie beneath those strengths. Your strengths cannot minister to you. They cannot minister to others. They're not, God will not use them. And they will not be able to, they are unhelpful when it comes to the real issues of your life. I remember years ago being in a meeting in Florida. At that time, a young man came to that meeting and preached. He's 50 or so now. I remember that night I called my wife and I said, "Honey, I heard a young man preach today that I believe has as much God on him as anybody ever met, or he's as fake as a $3 bill. And through the times of preaching with him and for him, I found out that he was real. He was real. That wasn't that I was trying to search out the fake. It's just as he was so unusual. Don't go nowhere looking for fake. Just look inside. We all got it in us. Woo! That comes with the package of religion. You can't have it. But my heart knitted with his, but I saw the danger, not in a critical sense. And I've done this on two or three occasions. And by the time the week was over, I went up to him and I said, "Brother, I'm going to tell you something. God's hand is on you, but you are so gifted. Your personality is so strong. You could woo a congregation in it. I mean, make them cry or make them laugh. You can just bring them to any level. At your age, it's amazing what gifts you have." But I said to him, "If you trust and rely upon these strengths, you will destroy yourself and everybody else you try to minister to." And he took it to heart, and I'm glad he did. And he does minister to people, but he has great gifts, but they're not his strengths. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Your strength cannot be the strength in what God is doing. His strengths, he could get no assurance out of them. They wouldn't minister to him. They wouldn't minister to others. They wouldn't minister to his weaknesses. You say, "Well, I'm going to tell you, I got some things going on in my life, but I think I can handle it. I'll do it." Oh, wait a minute. Get that out of your mind. You don't want to get between God and your real problems with your strengths. But the last thing I would say to you is that Jacob is strong. He has his strengths, but they are unnecessary. They're unnecessary. I noticed in Genesis chapter 28 when God appears to him, and every time God appears to him, he emphasizes himself as the strength in the text. He has to keep reminding him. Doesn't he have to keep reminding us that without me you can do nothing? Amen. And then said, you know, with me you can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. But you got to realize that, or you'll get back into the gear of those strengths. And when he would appear to him, he would say things like, "I will," "I can," "My presence will be with you always." Genesis 28, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places where thou goest, and will bring thee into this land again. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Woo! Relax, Jacob. Rest, Jacob. This is not in your powers or in your strength. I just come to tell you, it's I. When I went into evangelism, I told the Lord, I said, okay, I'll starve to death. I visioned myself standing on the street corner with a sign that said, we'll preach for food. But I told the Lord this. I said, Lord, I'll go, but I'm not going to be the ragtag salesman of the gospel. I'm not going to come dragging in with something always broke down and having complaining and sorry mouth and saying, oh, woe is me. And I'm not going to ever ask anybody for anything. You know what he said? Here's what he said. You won't have to. I'll do the talking for you. Woo! And I also told him, I said, now, Lord, I ain't ever going to call anybody and ask them if they want me to come preach. He said, you won't have to. I said, but you know, Lord, I can't preach good enough to stay busy. He said, I know that. But it ain't in you. It's in me. And you won't ever have to ask anybody. I'll have them call you. Back during COVID, we were off 18 weeks. Esther said, don't that make you feel bad not preaching? I said, hallelujah, no. This is what God's ordained. Somebody else said, well, what if it all closes down? You can't have no meetings. I'll just do whatever else God wants me to do. It ain't up to me. I didn't start this thing. I ain't going to finish this thing. I didn't come here trying to beg a meeting. I ain't going to leave to beg a meeting. I'm going to tell you, I want it to be in His hands. I will. He said, Jacob, 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 it's mine. Moses, all of that training in Egypt, somehow supposed and got it in his mind, he could lead the children of Israel out. Oh, I tell you what, I've been taught a lot. I know a lot. Ain't no problem. Let the Lord call me. I'll do it. Oh, yeah. He said, I can. Oh, that's the worst place to be. He ends up on the backside of the desert driving sheep, leading sheep. So beat down and wrung out that when God does finally come and call him, he says, I can't. I can't do that. And God said to him, Moses, it ain't in the I can, it ain't in the I can't, it's in the I am. Get down there, boy, and I'll do it all. Hey, preacher, he'll do all the pastoring. He'll do all the preaching. He'll do it all. He'll be your strength so you won't have to exercise your strength. He won't need it. Jacob has expended all that energy trying to help God out. He thinks God can't do it without him. It dawned on me one day, Brother Rick, as I seen some of the old preachers pass off the scene, how that life keeps on going. And God raises somebody else up. And I said, hallelujah, God, I'm glad you don't need me. Not my strengths. You see, because your strengths can't help you, they can't help others. They can't help the weakness in your life, won't be able to lift you up a bit. And they can't help God. But I'm going to tell you some blessed day when you find out how weak you are on whatever level it is. Because while your strengths, while your weakness will drive you to God, crying out, "Oh God, how wretched I am. I'm a man of unclean lips." But your strengths will hide all that. You won't even have to deal with it. But while it's hiding it, everything's crumbling. And God can help us in our weaknesses. He won't do nothing for your strengths. Not as you use them to be your strengths in all the issues of life. Singing, preaching, pastoring, marriage, raising your family. Don't ever think that it all lies within your power. Woo! But I'm going to tell you something. We may notice this in the morning. Once Jacob gets broken, he stays weak the rest of his life. Son, move that chair over here. I'm sorry. I used to didn't have to do that. I mean, help me out. Oh. I can hear the boys say, "Boy, Dad, I ain't never seen him like that. He's so weak." Somebody's already preached on it. I may preach on it. He worshiped in his weakness.
Yes, he did.
Yes, sir.
Like he could have never worshiped in his strength. It was in his weakness he blessed everybody. He wasn't blessing nobody when he was strong. He's just trying to rip the heart out of everybody.
That's right.
Wasn't he? I don't need nobody's help. I'll take care of this. Where's Esau at? You just tell Laban what I said. So strong. And all that stuff going on. But oh, God broke him. And he gets on that wagon, rides down to Egypt, and there's the richest man in all the world, Pharaoh. Controls everything. He gets introduced to him, and he ain't even impressed. He just looked at him and said, "If you don't mind, I'd like to bless you." And he put his hand on him, blessed him. Blessed his boys, blessed his grandchildren. He just went around blessing. Out of his weakness. Because out of your weakness is where God becomes strong. And then he is your strength. And you can operate off of that. Woo! I hope that helps you like it helps me. The rest of his life, Jacob was able to help everybody he come in contact with like this, out of his weakness. He became strong.
Let's stand.